Recordings have started, Olivier.
Thank you, Julia. So good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC monthly conference call on the Tuesday, the 27th of August, 2013. The first thing we're going to do in this call is to adopt the agenda, and that's on your wiki page. So does anyone have any amendments to the agenda, or is the agenda adopted?
Requires us looking at it, I guess, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And seeing no one putting their hand up, and we should have all looked at the agenda before this call started, but never mind, we can always speak about it a bit later on. Oh, I see a couple of hands. Oh, no, it's just one hand from Cheryl Langdonor. Cheryl?
Thank you. I was waiting to see if an ALAC member had any comments before I asked to speak. I did pass a comment through to Heidi when she copied to me a piece from today's agenda. I'm just struggling to find it for whatever reason. Under Section 8, I believe, which is to do with the CCNSO ALAC meeting preparation. I had hoped to not see that the ALAC was going to be so presumptive as to assume they would be allocating whom the CCNSO may choose to put towards this. I sort of mentioned that to Heidi, but I still see it in the agenda, and I'm not particularly keen to have it in the permanent record. I would suggest that the names myself, Ron, Maureen, and in brackets, and discussion of any other, along with staff support from Heidi, might be appropriate for the ALAC to discuss. But the CCNSO contributions, the CCNSO's business. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Heidi, would you be able to amend this, please, on the agenda?
Yes, please. This is Heidi. Please refresh your agenda. It's been updated.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Thanks, Olivia.
Thank you. Thank you, Cheryl. So let's get moving then. And the next thing is to have the call for any other business. And there is none at the moment. Okay. And the next thing, of course, is to go then for agenda item number two, the roll call and the apologies. If you could go ahead. I believe, is it Julia who's dealing with this?
Yes, this is Julia.
Then you go ahead, Julia.
Thank you, Olivier. On today's call, we have Tijani Benjema, Olivier Crétin-Leblond, Sandra Hofrichter, Evan Leibovich, Eduardo Diaz, Dev Anantilaxing, Jean-Jacques Subrena, Rinalia Abdulrahim. We have Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Alan Greenberg, Julie Hammer, Ron Sherwood, Maureen Hilliard, Garth Graham and Garth Bruin. We have apologies from Natalia Enciso, Fatima Cambronero, Carlton Samuels, Yao Viatorun, Pastor Peters and Sébastien Bachelet. And from staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Matt Ashtiani, Gisela Gruber, and myself, Julia Charvolin. And our interpreters today are Veronica and Sabrina on the Spanish channel and on the French channel, Fernanda and Camila. May I also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other language channels, and also speak at a reasonable pace to allow for accurate interpretation. Thank you very much, and over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Julia, and I hereby ask whether there's anyone who has not been mentioned in the roll call, but who is on the call at the moment. Now's your time to shout out or to put your hand up.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Siranush. Thank you. It's noted. Anyone else?
I will be following you only via phone. I do not have internet, just for you to know.
Okay, thank you very much, Sirnush. Let's move on. Let's go on with the item number three, the review of the action items from the Durban meeting, which is the last meeting that we had. And therefore, if you turn over to this wiki page, you will find the long list of action items that we have, but some of them having been cleared already, and we'll just go through the ones that have been that are still unchecked, and we'll see how we move forward with this. So the first one is on the ALAC and regional leadership. That was the Durban session about the hot topics on the definition of the public interest. There are a number of action items which follow on with regards to the definition of public interest. The first one is for Olivier to follow up with Sally Costerton and inform her that the concept of the public interest is on the agenda of Atlas 2. The second one is for Olivier again to request that ICANN senior staff provide additional information to clarify the status of Sally Costerton's initiative on the further investigation of the concept of the public interest. The third one is, again, for Olivier to engage with other AC and SO chairs about the possibility of a cross-community activity regarding the definition of public interest. And the fourth one is for Holly, Rinalia, Salanieta, and Wolf to watch the situation of the concept of the public interest and alert the ALAC if further action is necessary in this field. Certainly, the three action items which were assigned to me, I have not performed so far. I am meeting in a week and a half with Sally Costerton in London, so this is something which I will be speaking to her about, although I have had a call with her earlier, was it last week or a few days ago. It wasn't at all about these issues, and it was more about the Atlas 2, which I shall be providing you, the Atlas 2, the part I've lost my word now, this is interesting. The Atlas 2, global stakeholder engagement, here we go. Well, it's hard to find those words, sorry about that. Global stakeholder engagement and the promotional work that will happen during the Atlas 2. But I'll provide you with more details about this a little bit later on. Two people have put their hand up, Jean-Jacques Suprana first and then Alan Greenberg. Jean-Jacques, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is Jean-Jacques Suprana speaking. I just wanted to ask if it was possible to include me in the discussion about the concept or the notion of the global public interest. I was not in Durban, as you know, and I missed out on quite a few things. I'd like to catch up now if it's still. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. I believe that's what the whole concept. It's mentioned here as the concept of the public interest. I think it's the public interest and the global public interest, certainly along the lines that you have worked on in the past. Alan Greenberg?
Yep. Sorry, you mentioned the policy work on policy and implementation. Just to note that the GNSO working group has kicked off. The co-chairs are J. Scott Evans and Chuck Gomes, and their first meeting will be next week, I believe. So it's a good time for people to sign up if they want to get in on the ground floor of that discussion. Looks like it's going to be a good discussion. It's a very large work group, huge amount of interest from a lot of people. So it looks like it may be an interesting group to participate in for those who have an interest in the subject. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. That's noted. I didn't speak about policy versus implementation. I think we spoke about the public interest, but never mind. I mean, thanks for the information.
I'm sorry. I misheard. I thought one of the tasks was... You're right.
The public interest.
I was okay. Gone. I'll make the comment later.
Thank you, Alan. Well, it's recorded now. Jean-Jacques Subrana, your hand is up.
Thank you. This is Jean-Jacques. Olivier, you reminded us that the public interest, global public interest, was the same subject, or at least there was really a connection between the two. Actually, what I spoke about was a request on my part to include it in the discussions from now on, because I missed it out. I missed out on the Durban discussions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Are you meaning you wish to discuss it on this call or in future calls?
No, in any future calls and email lists and things like that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And of course, there is the recording of this session, which I highly recommend, and others on the call who have missed that session, to follow. There was a very intense and interesting debate that went on, which I unfortunately missed as well, but the recording is available. Now, let's move on. The next thing was the ALAC and regional leadership, and Gisela was to send a doodle to coordinate with Cheryl and to determine times for the metrics, working groups, teleconferences. Gisela was also to ensure the ALAC is prepared to capture the metrics from the time that the revised rules of procedures go live for initial reporting at the Singapore meeting. I see that Cheryl Lingdenor has put her hand up, so Cheryl, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Cheryl Langdon-Ore, for the transcript record. Olivier, my report, which is a very brief one for this work group, has the words, amongst a few others, that says in a very few days the doodle poll will be going out for then fortnightly between now and Buenos Aires meetings. So that doodle poll is pending. Gisela and I have discussed the logistics, etc. But I also have asked in my report that, as I did in Durban, that the ALAC and the regional representatives take the time now to look at those who are currently in that work group and refresh their energies and ensure that they are committed, and indeed that there is a equitable and reasonable balance of workers in that team, because it will be rubber to the road once those meetings start. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And I've just asked if staff could put in the on the Adobe chat the actual URL or the wiki page. Can you?
Yeah,
that would be great. Because then we can have, I mean, I notice we have a lot of people on the call today, including most of the RALO leaders, so they can have a look at that. And as you said, consider refreshing this and getting this group underway. Certainly the metrics is something we need to have soon. And I was now going to ask Gisela whether Gisela to ensure the ALAC is prepared to capture the metrics from the time that the revised ROPs, rules of procedure, go live for initial reporting at the Singapore meeting. We'll see later on in this call that the rules of procedure are closer than ever to going live. So are we prepared, Gisela?
Hi, Olivier, Gisela here. Once we start the metrics working group, we will make sure that we capture the KPIs and that we then prepare ourselves to be able to present in Singapore.
Okay, thank you very much, Gisela. Let's move on and let's go to the next meeting, and that's the at-large regulatory issues. Now, the regulatory issues working group is actually an ad hoc, I guess, mix between the who is and the register and rights working groups. The ALAC has not actually voted or made any formal decision yet to mix the two groups together, and I think that this will probably need some discussion at some point. But the two working groups met as one single meeting called the Regulatory Issues Working Group, and came up with one action item, which was that Carlton Samuels is to ensure that the Regulatory Issues Working Group will prepare a response to the expert working group that addresses the promise of its development, but also places it in the context of the current status of who is. That's actually something which I believe is actually done in some way, or half done in some way, since we'll see later on in the policy development part of this call that there is someone has picked up the pen to draft a comment with regards to the expert working group report or intermediate report. Do we have Carlson on the line yet? I don't see him in the Adobe room. And I don't think that he's on the call at the moment. So, yes, we have apologies from Carlson. Right, thank you. Okay, let's continue then. ALAC policy discussion part one. Well, everything is done on this one. Then we have the ALAC policy development meeting where you can see that all the action items are completed there as well. Then the ALAC executive meeting, and it's actually the executive committee meeting with regional leadership meeting and the ASO leadership. And there were two action items there. One, that Gisela was to create a calendar with all of the regional internet registry meetings so that we would be aware of all the meetings that were taking place, a sort of wider internet governance space. And once this calendar had been created, Olivia would be forwarding it to all the RALOs. We've unfortunately come up against a couple of glitches. Gisela, could you just let us know what's going on with this, please?
Hi, Olivier, Gisela here. I'm just in the process of seeing if that could actually be automated with the Google Calendar, as it means entering approximately 15 to 20 events per month on the at-large calendar. So as soon as I've identified whether we can do it automatically, I'll let you know. Otherwise, it will have to be updated manually.
Thank you very much, Gisela. And yes, it is true. You just updating so many of them is not a proper use of time. So let's hope we can find an automated solution for this. So let's move on to the next one, and we'll leave this open for the time being. The AP RALO monthly meeting was nothing to do with, well, not to do with the ALAC, the NARALO monthly meeting neither. The ALAC had a meeting with the NCSG. There were two action items, and there is the one that's still open is for myself, Olivier, to follow up with Wolfgang Kleinwächter on the civil society umbrella in ICANN. And I was going to do this whilst in the European Summer School on Internet Governance in Meissen at the late July, early August. Unfortunately, we were so busy we didn't have any time to discuss this any further. I will report back to the ALAC once we have a proposal from Wolfgang Kleinwächter and from the NCSG. The basic idea that was discussed was that perhaps there could be some kind of umbrella that would go above all civil society in ICANN, and we're still looking for this.
And too much. Olivia, you're cutting out badly.
Breaking up, Olivia.
Very strange.
Cheryl, I thought the term breaking up was better than cracking up.
It's fading out.
Cracking up, I'd be laughing. Breaking up, I'm actually not. You know, I'm basically going. Can you hear me?
It's a little bit like ship to shore radio.
Yes, now.
Oh, really? And now it's good. Okay. So Jean-Jacques Subrenard, you have the floor.
Thanks. I wasn't part of the discussion in Durban. Could you just say a couple of words more about this umbrella idea? Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. It's Olivier speaking. Effectively, the idea was that both NCSG and the ALAC have a significant part of civil society components inside them. In fact, both parts of ICANN are primarily civil society, have many members from civil society, and the idea was that there could be some kind of coordination between them, either on logistics or also on policy or on various issues. We didn't go very far at all in Durban because other issues were addressed. So this was left as a follow-up issue, and this is why I'd like to, before going any further, get some further information from Wolfgang Kleinwächter, get a proper proposal, that perhaps even a written proposal that I could then forward over to the ALAC, and we can see where we go from there. I know from discussing this informally with ALAC members that some people find it a good idea, some people don't find it a good idea and believe that we have very opposite views to the NCSG on many ICANN-related issues, and that we should retain our independence. So, you know, rather than opening the debate today and not having the information to work on, I propose getting the information, and then maybe on the next ALAC call we could have a discussion, and we certainly can start with a discussion once we have that proposal on the ALAC list. Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, I agree that we don't want to have a full-blown discussion, but I think the interim conclusions that were come to, that people came to prior to the meeting, the planned meeting, which didn't actually happen in terms of the discussion on this, was that there was a general feeling that people believed that coordination was good, but that should not be a presumption that we are uniformly behind the ideas that are often put forward by NCUC. That is, we're not synonymous, but coordination does sound like a good idea.
Yeah, that's right. So let's move on until we have more info on this. And so let's get going to the next thing. So as I said, I'll be emailing Wolfgang Kleinwächter and finding out further information and then reporting back to the ALAC, and this should happen within next week or so. The next one, the at-large regional leadership meeting, that was all the secretariats, and I think we can move on. Let's see, AFRI ICANN meeting, and no, the RALO regional leadership. No, so at-large regional leadership meeting is one which actually is on the agenda. Math is to work with the at-large community on the development of the beginner's guide for the ALSs with the aim of producing it by the Buenos Aires meeting. I wonder whether there's any follow-up on this, Matt. You might be muted, Matt Ashtiani.
Olivier, this is Heidi.
Yes, Heidi.
Matt has dropped, so if I could respond to that very quickly.
Please, go ahead, Heidi, over.
Yes, there's no update on that yet. We are still planning that, but again, the purpose of that is to really have it done latest for the summit, so there is a little bit of flexibility then.
Okay, thank you. Next, I see Alan Greenberg, you have your hand up again?
No, sorry, that was the previous hand.
Thank you.
Gone now.
Next, we have the wrap-up meeting, and in the wrap-up there are still two action items remaining. One is for Dev to be considered to replace Cheryl, who is the current chair of the ALAC Subcommittee on Outreach. This is an item that we will be touching on later on in this call. And next is for Alan to follow up on options for carrying out votes during ICANN meetings under the new rules of procedure. Alan, would you have a...
The guides and adjunct documents that will be my focus, but I will get to that once they're put to bed.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Just as a reminder for everyone, this was a discussion we had during the wrap-up. There were several votes, and many ALAC members were in other meetings because they were parts of working groups, etc., and so it was a little bit of a mess to collect all of the votes, both online, offline, in the room, etc., and it took quite a while to be able to get quorum. So we might need to look at options so that we have clearly defined options as to what we can do when we are in such a situation.
Olivier, there are clearly defined options. I just want to extract them and make sure everyone knows about them. We
Excellent. Thank you, Alan.
We spent an awful lot of time on that during the creation of the rules.
Yeah, they're not to be created.
Yes, Alan. Thank you, and I remember that. So good. So next we have the meeting with David Olive. We've got and that's a meeting with which the XCOM had on the executive committee meeting on Friday morning in Durban, while everyone else was having fun. A few of us met, and so Heidi and Gisela were to organize a webinar for AtLarge on the TLD, top-level domain marketplace. Heidi, do you have an update on this, please?
This is Heidi Olivier. We're still working on that. So again, there are a few other briefing sessions in September and October, so that one will be late October.
Okay, thank you. Next discussion with ICANN board members. We had the chance of having several board members join us, including Shireen Shalaby, who is both chair of the board new GTLD committee, but also chair of the finance committee for the board. We had Chris Despain joined us. We also had George Sadowski joining, Erica Mann joining. So it was a good list, and I might be missing a few other board members as well, but it was interesting to have so many board members come to us. And there, the discussion touched on the FY14 budget and on several other things. But certainly once, the action items are that once the FY14 budget is approved, the ALAC is to send a note to the board explaining the plans for the summit, the AtLarge summit, as well as setting out the excitement and expectations of the ALAC on holding their second summit. And that's now going to be sent very soon since the FY14 budget has, I believe, just been approved yesterday or a couple of days ago. So that's an action item for me in the next few days. Cheryl is to lead on the creation of a CCNSO at-large task force to prepare the CCNSO ALAC meeting in Buenos Aires. We are going to touch on this later on in this call. And a call has to be sent out to the ALAC mailing list asking for volunteers on this. In any case, Cheryl will be taking us through this in a few minutes. These are all the action items. There was a long list, and I'm a bit sorry we took so much time on them, but seeing no hands, I think we can now move on to the next part of our agenda, and that's number 4, the review of the current at-large structure applications. And this is a really exciting part, which I guess I can let either Matt go through or someone else in staff, whoever's in charge of this part.
Hi, Olivier. This is Heidi, if I may. Natalie is actually doing a fantastic job handling these ALSs. She's on a different call at the moment, so I'll briefly just announce our recently certified ALSs, and there are quite a few I'm happy to announce. We have the Urello Individuals Association. We have the Australian Communications Consumer Action Network, or ACCON. We have the South, that's going to be an AP Urello. We have the South Pacific Computer Society, also in AP Urello. And the Internet Society in Nepal chapter, also in AP Urello.
Yay!
So currently, well done, everyone. And we have 158 ALSs currently. And you can see that there's a good number in the process right now of becoming certified. So that includes the Internet Society Nigeria chapter. And due diligence is being carried out. There's the Internet Society Somalia chapter, also due diligence is being carried out. And then, again, I'm going to practice my French. It's the Federation Comorian des Consumateurs. That's a consumer organization from a small island, set of islands off the coast of Africa. And that's also
fantastic.
Being carried out there.
Fantastic, Heidi. Thank you very much. And next time we will be asking you, as you are in Turkey at the moment, to be providing us with the details of some applicants from Turkey, hopefully. And that will also get your Turkish improved as well. And you might be getting some help from David Olive on this, hopefully. Recently certified ALS is welcome to all of them. I just wanted to note specifically the Uralo Individuals Association, which effectively is a Uralo-created association that will accept individual users in Uralo. It's a slightly different model than the model that Neuralo has had for accepting individual users. So it's it will be interesting to see how that grows. With regards to the other three recently certified ALSs, welcome. And certainly, well done to APRALO for growing at an unprecedented rate. So I guess we all have to look for more active ALSs. Certainly, there is going to be some work going into getting all of our ALSs to be more active. And in the lead up to London and to the at-large summit, that's a great thing. Any comments or questions on this? I see a couple of people having put their hand up. So Alan Greenberg first, and then Jean-Jacques. So Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention that in parallel with getting new ALSs, we both the ALEC and the RALOs, need to continue the work of identifying those that are now dormant or non-existent or blatantly don't meet the qualifications, and identifying those so that when we talk about how many ALSs we have, we can, you know, we can say it with a completely straight face, knowing that all of them are indeed, you know, still legitimate, and that we don't have any ones left from bygone years. I know in Neuralo there are a couple that we need to look at. I suspect the same is true in the other RALOs, and we should be diligent in doing that at the same time as trying to get new active ALSs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan, and that's a very, very good point indeed. Certainly, we now have a procedure or a process that we have used to decertify ALSs with due diligence, etc., all sorts of work that went on for the last two that were decertified. And therefore, I think maybe we might have an action item here for the RALO leadership, for the different RALOs, to identify potential candidates for decertification. That's a first step to cleaning up the list and certainly making sure that defunct or inactive ALSs, those that don't exist anymore, that have disappeared, that don't have a representative and that cannot be contacted, et cetera, those ones would be identified as a first step to decertifying them with the whole process that we've worked on before. Jean-Jacques Subrenal, you are next.
Thank you. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. 2 points about voting. I saw just recently that for the vote on Nepal and the vote on South Pacific, in both cases I was noted as having not voted or not having taken part in the vote, but I do remember very clearly having done that. This already happened a few months ago, or perhaps a year ago, and I had spoken about this to Matt, who had managed to fix the system, but I see it's happening again, so it's quite troublesome for me as an ALEC member to be counted out when I have in fact voted. So can I ask staff to just have a look at this, and I'll get together with staff in the coming days, or they can contact me perhaps. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Can I help
very much, Jean-Jacques. I don't know who's speaking. Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques, for this. So next we have Tijani Ben-Jamal.
Eduardo is speaking.
So Eduardo, could you please go on mute? That would be helpful.
I'm on mute. Can you hear me now? I just want to... I just want to make...
Yes, go ahead, Eduardo.
I want just to say to JJ that that happened to me about the voting. That happened to me before, and I just, you know, when you hit yes, no, or abstain, there is another page that comes and that says confirm. And if you don't confirm, it, you know, it just like you thought that you voted, but it doesn't happen. It happens sometimes. Maybe that's what's happening. Thank you.
Okay.
No, Eduardo, I did check very carefully on each case. So this is a request from me to staff. Could you please check that and get in touch with me? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jean-Jacques, and this is noted, and staff will follow up with you directly. Tijani Benjamin, you're next.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. As for the certification, I think that we don't have to make a new action item for that because we will do that because we will work on the summit. And for the summit, we will try to go in contact with the ALSs. And any ALS who doesn't respond will not be invited to the summit. That was the decision. So this will be the work that we will do, and then we will inform ALAC so that perhaps and the RALOs so that the RALOs may propose some decertifications. So we don't have to do the work twice, I mean. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Tijani. Well, what can be done is the action item can go now and then can wait until the work is all done in one go.
Okay.
And then that will kill two birds with one stone and also put a tick next to an action item. I mean, that's not wishing to be petty, but I think we can do it this way. Cheryl Langdonor next.
Thank you. Cheryl Langdonor, the Transcript Record. And I was delighted to hear what Tijani just said, because I was most concerned about the action item as she is writ. I would, if you will take my sage-like wisdom and a little bit of historical perspective, encourage you, dear ALAC, to be very careful about doing things like making action items where you are empowering a RALO to identify candidates for decertification. I think there's a difference between identification and proposal or raising of issues for the ALAC's attention, but you need to be, I think, very careful to have the ongoing and continued role of who it is that has the bylaw mandate to certify and, if needs be, decertify, and to that effect to actually make the decision whether or not such an at-large structure is or is not appropriate for that process. It needs to involve the RALOs, absolutely, but just be very cautious about how you've written that particular action item. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I see identify potential candidates for decertification.
Olivier, under what criteria, who's established it, is it unified and harmonised between and across all the RALOs? I could go on for an hour, but I won't.
Okay, thank you, Cheryl. Well, I don't know, but the word identify, it really is nothing more than just an identification. I'm not quite sure how you wish to. Do you have any way to propose rewriting this action item?
I don't have the problem with the word identify. I think they can certainly not be... they can propose, but to that, the way that's written, it looks to me as if you're giving the empowerment for the identification and the criteria establishment to the RALOs, and that is not where it belongs.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. I was actually not going to use the word propose because propose was actually going further than just identifying. So this is why I thought identify is a weaker term. I see Alan has put his hand up. Maybe he, as a master crafter of words, can draft it so it actually means what it should mean.
Well, I'll only comment on the North American situation. The North American RALO does explicitly have rules within our approved rules that give us some basis to identify and then pass that request on to the ALAC, for verification and to make sure that it meets the ALAC's, whatever the ALAC chooses to use as the rules. But we actually do have some process by which we can do that. So the words are just fine for Neuralo. They may or may not be as appropriate for other Raylos. Certainly, if another Raylo knows the group doesn't exist anymore, the people are no longer there, there is no email, there is no web, that's a good criteria to identify a possible ALS that needs decertification. So I'm happy with the words. I think we do need to set expectations that this is not a RALO decision, this is an ALAC decision, but we value and need the input from the ALSs, from the RALOs, rather.
Absolutely.
They're the first point of contact. I actually put my hand up with regard to Tijani's comment on we're going to be doing this for this summit anyway, but I'll remind you that we do have a Board 15 seat selection that will be proceeding perhaps at a faster pace than that. I know Cheryl will be talking a little bit about that later. And therefore, there is reason to want to make sure that since some of the RALOs may well be directing at least one of their votes, which involves the formal decisions of the ALAC and the RALOs, having ALSs which don't in fact exist have two problems. It brings into question the credibility of the process, and it also makes it harder for them to obtain threshold votes if the ALAC doesn't exist but is still on the books. So we may in fact need to work a little bit faster than the summit, and I don't know the exact timeline of the summit for doing that kind of work, but there may be a need to work faster than that for at least the blatant cases. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Next is Tijani.
Thank you, Olivier. Alan, I have another concern also about the vote, the direction of the vote from the ALSs. From my experience, only a few ALSs respond. They exist, they are there. When you tell them we have a summit, they will come and they will respond. But when you ask them to vote, when you ask them to give their opinion, they are silent. So this also will perhaps give a bad, it will not give the a real view of the opinion of the region. So I don't know. It will be a mixed of ALSs that doesn't exist, that don't exist anymore, and ALSs that don't respond. Also, thank you.
Yeah, Tijani, my only comment is it's a RALO decision whether to direct the vote of their chair or not. So
I know
whether that a RALO chooses to that obviously will have to do with whether the ALSs actually respond or not. You can't decide to direct a vote and then not have anyone say how to direct it. But that's a RALO decision. All I'm saying is if we invoke that that directed concept within a RALO, then there is some need to try to make sure that all of the ALSs are still active and not defunct. That was my only comment. I wasn't saying anything stronger than that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. And seeing the time pass by rather fast, I propose that we move on and we continue this discussion online. So now we have the reports, and these are the reports from our working groups, from our RALOs and liaisons. And as per usual, first I have to thank all the RALO leaders who have published their reports. It's a vital piece of information for our at-large structures to find out what is going on in the region, and also for our ALAC members, because we don't always follow all of the regional mailing lists. It's good to see what's happening in the other regions as well. But we also have our reports from our GNSO and CCNSO liaisons and the SAC liaison as well, and I was going to ask each one to provide us with a brief summary, starting with the CCNSO liaison, Cheryl Langdonor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. As Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record, and I'm delighted to draw the attention of the at-large advisory committee and everyone else on the meeting, particularly the regional leaders who have, I think, a number of ALSs in some of their regions who would be interested in the following news. my most recent update, as you know, I continuously update the CCNSO liaison reports. My most recent update was only done earlier today when I was able to record the following, that as I had harbingered that the second vote of the CCNSO to approve the IDN CCPDP would go ahead. That has now been confirmed. That was closed off mid-August. But as of the 23rd of August, the CCNSO Council has now approved the board report that now will be or is about to be sent to the ICANN Board of Directors, with a view for the board to meet and to modify Section 15 Annex B and look towards getting GAC advice on what is then going to be brave new world for the CC community with a mechanism to have internationalised domain names which are not in a fast-track system. And I think a number of people will be very pleased to have that news. That's mainly it from me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And are there any questions or comments from anyone? I don't see anyone having putting their hand up. I have a question, actually. What's the process forward, Cheryl, now that this working group on geographical names geo-regions, as it's called, has moved forward? What's the next step forward? When will it affect the at-large community?
Well, it you actually get a an opportunity depending on what the board wants to do. This report now is one that once endorsed by the CCNSO Council goes as advice of a community review of the geographic regions, which, as you know, did have to be done and was done in a cross-community manner, to the ICANN board, and then it's very much up to the board as to whether or not it adopts the recommendations or uses some other process. So in terms of affecting us, it depends on whether they take it as she is written and then go ahead with it, or what I think is far more likely, that the board will in fact take a next step of interacting in some way, shape or form with the community, be it in a forum or be it in a more informal or formal public comment process. What it does, of course, give the at-large advisory committee is a unique opportunity to have further and indeed more considerable influence, far more akin to what you would see from the government advisory committee, by making a particular representation directly to the ICANN board on the matter once it gets on their agenda.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. So next we have our GNSO liaison report, and for this we have Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. Not a lot to report. The GNSO did have a very rare emergency meeting at the beginning of the month to approve the PDP report that it couldn't approve due to a technicality and slightly missed deadline of submitting the motion for Durban, and that was approved and passed on to the board. But there was no other formal meeting in August. There will be a meeting, I believe, the first week in September or the second week in September, I can't remember which, and an extended three-hour meeting to make up for it. So things are quiet at this point other than work groups progressing.
Thank you very much, Alan. Yes, I believe the meeting is on the 10th of September, so that's the second week. Any questions for Alan Greenberg? Well, certainly the GNSO is lucky to be able to take us on holidays, but they certainly needed to get a bit of a break, and hopefully you've all had a bit of a break as well this summer. Let's move on to the ESSAC liaison report with Julie Hammer. Julie, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Julie Hammer for the record. Just a couple of things I'd like to highlight. One is that the board, DNS Risk Management, Framework Working Group have called for comment on the Westlake report, which was presented at the Durban meeting, and I see that that's on the agenda later, so that'll be discussed, I'm sure. Also, the main activity, I think, is the release of the two ICANN study reports, the first one being on dotless domains and the second one, the name collision study. The dotless domain report was considered by the board, new GTLD committee, on the 13th of August, and their resolution was that the use of dotless domains will be prohibited. So that's a good outcome. And the name collision study report has been accompanied by a staff recommendation paper on how to proceed with potential new GTLDs that could have name collisions, and that recommendation paper we have provided a comment on, and I believe the vote for that should be completed by now. So that's really the main things that have been happening in security and stability.
Okay, thank you very much, Julie. Any questions or comments to Julie Hammer on her report? I see no one having put their hand up, so certainly, yes, there is a public comment period on the board DNS risk management framework report. It will be interesting to see how this pans out. Okay, now we have three more liaisons. Usually we don't go through their reports, especially the .mobi liaison, since that hasn't existed for a while. But I do have some news to report on this. Whilst in Germany, I have been able to follow up with Afilias, who are the people now owning .mobi. And I've managed to speak to Philip Grabensee, who is the chair of Afilias. And there's been a follow-up now with the chair of the public advisory board of .mobi. We're now asking them the liaison to a renewed policy board.
Breaking up and, again, Olivier.
Can you hear me? Maybe it's just my voice that's breaking up like this.
Now we can hear you. Before we could only hear every third syllable.
Okay. Okay, right. So, to summarize, basically, I've had a meeting with Philip Grabensee, who is the chair of Afilias, who are the owners of .mobi, and they have contacted the person who is in charge of the policy advisory board of .mobi, and now .mobi are asking for the ALAC to appoint someone as a liaison. So what we will be doing, I guess, is to send out a call for appointment of a liaison, and we'll be doing all of this by email, and I hope that someone will step forward and become a liaison. I understand that the position, the .mobi liaison position, is one where I think there are a handful of meetings, maybe once a month, that you need to attend a conference call. There might be some retribution associated with it. I'm not quite sure of the exact list, how much, or it's just some kind of per diem for your time. And it's certainly something that .mobi wishes to push forward with. So there'll be a follow-up on email after this call.
Well,
let's continue. This is another loop that is finally closed. Let's move on then to the next agenda item that we have. And I realize we're only on number 5, and there are 16 agenda items. It's a very long agenda. New business items for decision, and we're going to quickly shift through the policy advice development page, and I invite you all to have a look at it. The recently adopted ALAC statements, there were three of them, and I thank the people who have held the pen on these and people who have commented on these. Very, very good statements. Then we have statements currently being developed, reviewed, or being voted on. There's the Community Priority Evaluation Update from ICANN. ALAC is currently drafting a statement on this, and I invite you all to have a look at the page and comment on this. Actually, read the paper itself, the Community Priority Evaluation paper itself, and form your own point of view and contribute to this. I see Tijani has put his hand up. So Tijani, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I do think that this comment will concern the community priority evaluation guidelines and not update. I don't know. I am perhaps mistaken, but this is the statement that Renalia is now tasked to write, to prepare, and I will give my input on it. We have now the deadline, which is extended to the 7th of September, so we have time. I don't know if I am speaking about other things than this comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Yes, I think it's called Guidelines Update because it was an update that was provided by ICANN. But certainly, yes, we are speaking about the guidelines which were published by the Community Priority Evaluation Panel firm. I mean, there is a concern at the moment. The proposed statement we have looks at the viability of the CPE panel firm itself. We need to look at the guidelines document itself and comment on those as well. So I hope that many of you will be looking at that. Tijani, your hand is still up.
Sorry, it's an old hand.
Thank you. Next, the proposal to mitigate name collision risks. Again, the ALAC is drafting a statement at the moment, and there is a statement that is on the wiki that already contains a discussion with the first draft. That's gone into voting already, sorry. And I believe that it's going to be sent today, looking at the timeline. So I thank the pen holder for this, Julie, and we've spoken about this a bit earlier. The next one is the rights protection mechanism requirements. Yes, that's the one which is generating a discussion at the moment, still in the discussion phase. Hong Chiwe has picked up the pen. The first draft has been submitted. There are some points from Renalia and several other people who are now following up. Any comments or questions? We can swiftly move forward. The next one is to explore the draft next generation GTLD directory services model. Again, here the ALAC is not only considering drafting a statement. I did ask for this to be updated. Unfortunately, it wasn't. But the ALAC, there is actually a statement that is there that Holly has put on the page. It hasn't been updated, but it's in the commentaries. And in the comments. And effectively, this is the feedback to the expert working group work on the replacement of the WHOIS model. So Carlton is on that group, Carlton Samuels, but by being on that working group, he is unable to be leading the charge on this. So it has been in the hands of Holly Reich to move forward on this. Of course, you're very welcome to comment on what she has drafted. So the timeline is very short. We need to move fast. In fact, we are somehow over time on this comment. So we'll just have a handful of days, maybe less than a handful of days, to comment on this, and probably we'll have an accelerated vote on that as well. Next, the statement on the WCIT outcomes, and this one is one which I was supposed to be drafting. The World Conference on International Telecommunications keeps on moving forward. The subject is somehow a sort of moving target, and there's a concern that I have that whatever I'd write now would probably be out of date by the time it's sent to the board or to whoever it needs to be sent to. I think we can keep it on there and wait for the right moment. There'll be a lot more discussions and developments in the next few weeks with the forthcoming discussions in Geneva, I believe, in September or late September or so. There are new public comments which have recently opened. The three that are listed here, the first one is the DNS Risk Management Framework report, which Julie Hammer has alluded to a bit earlier, and I hope that we will be able to comment on this. We're looking for someone to pick up the pen, if it's Julie Hammer or someone else. Very welcome to be part of a team if you wish to make a team, put a team together. I see Julie has put her hand up. Julie, you have the floor.
Yes, Olivia, thanks. Julie Hammer for the record. I'm just wondering, with regard to making a comment on this, we haven't seen anything come out of the chairs of the DSSA working group about how this affects that group very greatly, as you well know, and we haven't seen anything come out of the co-chairs of that group. And so I'm just wondering what the best approach is for putting a statement out when that group is also involved.
Yes, thank you very much, Julie. The DSSA is currently looking at the report, and this is wearing my co-chair hat in the DSSA. Currently reading through the board DNS Risk Management Framework report. No follow-up yet. There is one thing which you need to be aware of, which is that the DSSA is soon going to write to all of the SOs and ACs that chartered it, so all the supporting organizations and advisory committees that chartered it, to ask whether it still needs to continue its work or what work it needs to do, and if it is refreshing of people in the DSA who I remember have been on that working group for over 2 years. So there is quite a lot of volunteer fatigue on the working group. At the same time, if it is the choice of the SOs and ACs to disband the group and conclude its work, that's also an option that will be given. So we will have to see. Certainly the feedback from members of the DSSA who have read the report already or who were aware of an early report was a concern that the board risk management framework was looking specifically at the risk to ICANN, whilst the DSSA's work was more the risk to the DNS. And there's a subtle difference between the two. This has been discussed on the HRT2 as well, the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, who had to review the SSR Stability and Security Resiliency Framework, SSR Review Team, sorry. And there's also some work going on there to review the board DNS risk management frameworks. I'm not quite sure how this will all fit together. But anyway, let's move on. It's a complex thing. Quickly, next is the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings policy development process, PDP recommendations for board consideration. The comment period closed on the 23rd of August. There was no statement filed on this. And then finally, the GNSO structures charter amendment process. And there was no statement on that either. There is, again, as you know, there is a new at-large policy development early engagement workspace, which has been in use recently, and that is linked over to the early engagement page of the policy development public comment process, on the ICANN website. So I invite you to look at this in your own time. Moving swiftly on, the new chair appointments for the At-Large Capacity Building Working Group and the ALAC Subcommittee on Outreach. There are two recent changes. The first one is to do with the Capacity Building Working Group. Currently, there is no chair in place. This used to be chaired by Salaneta Tamanikawamaro. Sala has provided us with her resignation in Durban during the Durban meeting, and therefore the position needs to be filled by someone who can take over from her. After some discussion with various people in Durban, there was a very natural follow-up person for this that came up, and that was Tijani Benjema. And so the question I would basically ask on this call is that members would be okay with Tijani as a follow-up chair of the ALAC Capacity Building Working Group. Involved both in the ICANN, we call the ICANN Academy, but also the local capacity building program on Afralo, helping out with capacity building programs in other regions as well. I think he is a natural candidate. And so I open the floor first for a quick discussion, afterwards, if anybody wishes to have a vote, then we'll have to conduct a vote. Otherwise, if we can just have a consensus call, that will certainly save on some time for us. I don't see anyone putting their hand up. So let's have a consensus call then. Unless I hear from anyone, should Tijani Benjema be appointed as the chair of the ALAC Capacity Building Working Group? That's just a consensus call. Let's see, Alan Greenberg, you have put your hand up. Alan, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just want to have verbal confirmation from Tijani that he's willing to.
That's a very good point, Alan. Let's hear from Tijani Benjema. Tijani?
Yes, I would like to.
That's great. Thank you very much, Tijani, for very kindly stepping forward. And I see a lot of green ticks, certainly a majority of green ticks on the Adobe Connect. So by... And with some applause as well. So by acclamation, thank you very much, Tijani. Well done. And
this is Siranush. Please add also my name there.
Thank you, Siranush. Yeah, we're
I'm
just
in full agreement.
Fantastic.
Yes. Thank you.
So, Tijani, well done. Your life ends now, your private life, and you've got a lot of work on your hands. So well done for stepping forward on this. Next, we have a second change in personnel, and that's the Outreach Subcommittee. Cheryl, as you know, is currently the interim chair of the Outreach Subcommittee, and she has other duties, namely in the NOMCOM, Nominating Committee duties, which means that she has less and less time, even though we know that Cheryl usually has 48 hours in a day. That's still not enough, and so she has to step back. And therefore, the name that was brought forward in discussions around Durban was that Dave Anand Tilaksingh could be appointed as the chair of the ALAC Subcommittee on Outreach. And certainly Dave has done an enormous amount of work already with the not only chairing, but also as a volunteer in many committees, and he's a hard worker. Outreach is something that is going to be vital that is still vital to us. So, well, maybe we could hear from Dave if he is willing to take the post.
This is Devanansi Lutsing speaking. Yes, I'm willing to accept the responsibility of chair of the ALAC subcommittee on outreach. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave. And I'm being asked whether I'm underwater. I'm really sorry about the quality of the line. I might need to get a new call again, called a second time, because this looks like the line is just fading in and out. In the meantime, anybody who wishes to say anything about this? No? So maybe we can have then a consensus call as well regarding Dave Anand Tilak Singh to be appointed as the chair of the ALAC Subcommittee on Outreach. And I see some green ticks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, Evan, you've put your hand up. No, Evan has put a green tick instead. Or maybe your hand up as well at the same time. Evan, you're at the top of the queue at the moment. Would you like to add something? No, you've gone back down. Okay. Well, I see a majority of green ticks here, and certainly I see support for Dave. So by acclamation, bravo.
Yay.
Well done, Dave. Dave will be perfect for this job indeed. Well done, Dave. And so we can move over to agenda item number 8, and that's the approval of the ALAC CCNSO meeting prep group. And I will hand the floor over to Cheryl Langdonor for this, since I know that it's really something that's CCNSO-led, since it is the CCNSO that has asked for this small group to be formed. Cheryl Langdonor, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, for the transcript record. And of course, I'm speaking on behalf here for both myself and for Ron, because as Ron Sherwood is the CCNSO liaison to the ALAC, and I am the reverse to the CCNSO Council, we are mutually responsible sort of jointly and severally for keeping the ball rolling on this. Let's be very briefly do a quick review on exactly what this is. This thing's been called all sorts of peculiar things, not the least of which was a task force which had delusions of grandeur, I can assure you. The purpose of this is a small, very small, ad hoc group whose role will be to help to prepare the agenda that suits both the chair of the CCNSO and the chair of the ALAC, and to ensure that whatever logistics is required in terms of working with the staff, and in the case of the CCNSO, they have a meetings planning work group which does the scheduling and things that that we do differently in ALAC, to ensure that an appropriate time is found and that everything runs smoothly. Things such as the discussion on is it going to be a meeting between us on perhaps a Sunday or a Tuesday results in other decision nodes such as will this simply be a meeting between the ALAC and CCNSO Council representatives or the wider communities as a whole. So that's the type of deep and meaningful things that will be being discussed and worked on. We certainly would expect that the CCNSO will provide us, along with Ron of course, some staff support to match up with Heidi. That could be Bart, it could be Gabby, it could be both of them. We don't know yet. And we'll probably allocate someone from their meeting planning working group, or they could indeed wish to put someone in from their leadership team off the council. So you as an ALAC need to import a small group, which includes Ron and myself,
Maureen has been shadowing me quite effectively in the wonderful world of CCNSO liaison, as have several others. And if she's willing to serve, she seems to have managed to do a little bit of logistics work recently with the AP Rallo showcase, so she's probably got what it takes to do some of this as well. And I've had a note from Jean-Jacques Ciprenard, who feels he would like to contribute to this based on his experience of when he was on the board being involved in the CCNSO review. I hope he doesn't feel underutilised. With that, there's an additional name to that list that you have in your agenda, in as much as Jean-Jacques Ciprenard has asked to be included in this activity as well. And that's as much of an intro as I think I need to give. Ron, is there anything you'd like to say? I note Maureen's willing to pick up the gauntlet on this.
Oh, that was an excellent presentation. Thank you very much for both of us.
We make a wonderful team, Ron. It's your turn in September with the other group. Okay then, Olivier, with that annotation, I think we're ready to go, and then Ron and I can bring these names across from CCNSO and get the planning working.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, and it's Olivier back online. I hope you can hear me better than before. I can certainly hear some background noise now. I don't know from whom. Is my voice better than it was before?
Yes, although you have faded at various times. You've been fine and then you're not.
Okay, well, let's see how that works. Thank you for this, Cheryl, and thanks for this, Ron, as well. So Maureen said that she is happy to be part of this group, and I gather Jean-Jacques Ciprenard has also mentioned this. Really what we just need here is, again, a consensus call for this group to proceed forward with its work. I think that it's certainly good to have a team that will be able to create a very productive ALAC CCNSO meeting in Buenos Aires, and it looks good for us, because we haven't met with them for a very, very, very long time. So the consensus call would be effectively for this working group to, I don't know, it's not even a task force, working group, whatever, this group of people to start work ASAP and get things moving to organize the CCNSO ALAC meeting. Everyone okay with this? Tijani Benjamin, you have the floor.
I'm sorry, it's only to put a green tick.
Aha, okay. Thank you, Tijani. Okay, well, I see no one going against it, so I gather by acclamation this is moving forward as well. Let's move on then. Let's go for the next thing, which is going to be, let's have a quick look now, a working group update. No, sorry, I totally missed this. Number 9, next steps for at-large board member selection. Alan, could you just give us a quick 2-minute follow-up on what takes place next, please, on this? As we know, the at-large selects a board member. At the moment, it's Sébastien Bachelet. There's a whole process that needs to be initiated in order to pursue the next selection process. And Alan will give us a quick rundown on how this works. Alan,
yes. The rules have been changed slightly in the new rules of procedure, and therefore it seems to be clear that we should do the whole selection process under the new rules of procedure. That means we need to finish approving it. One of the documents, I hope a vote will be starting today if it hasn't already started, on the email guide, which is one of the required documents we need. The last is an adjunct document describing what happened last time and noting
the changes and the, any issues that came up during that point. That document is in preparation. I hope with Cheryl's help it will be ready in a day or two, and that will also go out for a vote. Once that's, once those are both approved, we have the new rules of procedure in place, and we can start the process to select the board member fully under the new rules. That is going to require the creation of two committees. One is the Board Member Selection Process Committee, which essentially oversees the election. The selection, because it's partly election, partly other processes that lead to it. The initial thing is it has to create the timeline and then start the process rolling. There is another committee, the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee, which will essentially looks at these expressions of interest and decides which of those go forward into the process. There's also a process for nomination by the RALOs, should someone not be selected by that process. Cheryl, I know, has already drafted the timeline, but put together what she believes is a reasonable timeline to be ratified or changed by the board, the Board Member Selection Process Committee, based on her experiences in the last go-around. And I think that's about it. The Board Member Selection Process Committee, BMSPC, is regionally balanced and has two representatives of each region selected by both the ALAC and the RALOs, so it's a joint effort. And the ALAC can name a chair of that committee. The Board Candidate Evaluation Committee again has two members selected by the RALOs plus a chair selected by the ALAC. And so I'm assuming the next steps are once we get the documents ratified, these committees must be created. I don't think there's anything to stop the ALAC chair from kicking off the process by alerting the RALOs that they have a responsibility and to start talking about the selection process. That's it as far as I know. Cheryl may have something to add.
Thank you very much. Yes, Cheryl, please go ahead, and then we'll have Tijani Benjima. Cheryl Langdonor first.
And now my hand goes up. I've been pushing that button for quite some time. I do apologize. It's Cheryl for the transcript record. Yes, just to draw your attention to a couple of things that Alan mentioned, I certainly would like to share with the ALAC some of the timing I have done, which obviously will be up to the ALAC and the BMSPC to accept or otherwise. But I am, as you know, having had the experience of running the process last time, very aware that what we have to avoid in this process is the compression of time that occurred and caused a couple of critical issues in the last round. So with those experiences in mind, I have prepared a suggested set of milestone dates. And if you'll bear with me for a moment or two, I'd like you to very quickly listen to those, mainly because it would involve the At-Large Advisory Committee getting onto things now, in other words, as of the 27th of August. We did discuss this, and Alan did mention it, that there is a need to reach out to the regions, but I'd like to perhaps formalise what he said. So that working backwards from the 16th of April, which is the drop-dead date for the announcement of who has been selected, and for that information to be in the hands of the company secretary. So if we work backwards from the 16th of April 2014, I'd like to propose the following, that between the close of this meeting and the 21st of September, that the ALAC undergo a program of outreach and aggregation of any names that they would be considering for their proposed BMSTC, that's the Oversight Committee. And I'd also like to ask you to consider that seeing as there is nothing in the rules that say there cannot be any overlap between members who are regionally represented in the BMSBC, remembering that, as Alan said, that particular group is 50% appointments. They're all appointed by the ALAC, but 50% of them are ALAC members and 50% of them are from the region, so you have two from each region, but one ALAC and one regional. There is no reason and there's nothing stopping any overlap between any of those regional representatives and those who will then go on to serve in the far more demanding task of evaluation, which is the board candidate evaluation committee. If you're going to do that, then you also need to get the regions motivated to find people who will put the work in, who will operate under the stringency of the regulations, rules and expectations that the job has, and work in a fairly short order at the highest level of professionalism. So from that, between the 24th of September or on the 24th of September, that would mean that on your meeting next month you could appoint your BMSPC and you can decide whether an overlap between that grouping and those who may serve as part of the BCEC is okay or not, and that could go up to 50% of the representatives. And then we could have meetings of the BMSTC on the 3rd and the 10th of October. Then on the 15th of October, you would need to have all of your RALO proposals for those people who are to be considered for appointment to the BCEC ready and available to you. So that by the 22nd of October, in other words the October ALAC meeting, you can appoint the BCEC, and that then allows a joint meeting with the BCEC and the BMSTC meeting together on the 31st of October. That will then allow for expressions of interest to go out in a timely manner, to be prepared and to go out by no later than around the 29th of November. And looking at the time of year, I would predict that the closing off of expressions of interest should be sometime around the 3rd of January. You would then allow between the 9th and the 30th of January for the BCEC to do their work, and they will be working very hard. The 31st of January for them to announce their final slate, and then that gives the whole of February and a little part of March, up until the 5th of March, for the regional deliberations and the possibility of any additions to the slate. And that was the time crunch last time. That's allowing, I think, is a reasonable amount of time for proper deliberations in the regions. That gives you a 5th of March for any RALO vote to begin for add-ons to the slate, remembering that you have to have 3 out of 5 RALOs to agree for such an addition to go on to the final listing. And then voting would need to be completed by the 11th of March. And then your final list could be released on the 13th of March, which will be the final list of candidates for seat 15. This will allow any presentations of the aspirants to be made to the community, even perhaps in a Q&A forum during the Singapore meeting, and you can start voting on those final lists as a electorate between the 1st and the 14th of April, allowing you to announce on the 16th. I know that's an awful lot of information. I have it in writing and it will be part of what the adjunct documents are suggesting. That does mean that the regions and the ALAC need to start work as of now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And yes, certainly receiving this in writing would be very helpful. I'm not going to test anyone on any of this right now, but I open the floor for questions and comments. Oh, Tijani had his hand up earlier. I don't know exactly what happened to his hand, but Tijani was head of the queue.
Yes,
Tijani Benchema.
Yes, it was a false manipulation. So I removed my hand, but I need to speak. Tijani speaking. I would like to say that, and Alan, please correct me if I am mistaken. I think that the final decision concerning the timeline is for the ALAC to do. It's not the committee. The committee will propose a timeline, and the ALAC will accept, or isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Correct.
That's all.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Yes, that's correct. The working groups prepare the work, and then when you have matters which are as important as this, the ALAC then decides on it afterwards. Jean-Jacques Subrana is next in the queue. Jean-Jacques, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques speaking. 2 points. The first is that last time around, I happened to be surprisingly and unexpectedly very involved in all of this, because I was called at the very last hour, at the 11th hour, I mean literally, from someone who is on this call and who is asking me to be a candidate. So I want to make sure that with the new rules which are in place, this kind of thing will not happen again, because it was amusing but rather disturbing as well. My second point is about process. When I was on the board of ICANN, I noticed that there was one thing which was perhaps not completely transparent or, let's say, accountable. And that is the way that committee chairs of the board are still selected, I believe, at least at that time, were selected. Actually, they were designated by the board governance committee, full stop. So on several occasions, I made a suggestion, including in writing, to say that once you have the committees populated, then it is up to that committee, the members of that committee, to elect the chair of that committee. So my request, which I ask you to take down here, is that both committees involved in the electoral process, once all its members have been designated, should be allowed to designate their own chair. It being understood that for all sorts of reasons, including one of final responsibility, the chair should be a person, a member of the ALAC. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. I see Cheryl has put her hand up again, but first we have Alan Greenberg and then Cheryl. So Alan, you have the floor.
I'll let Cheryl go first.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Cheryl Langdonor, please, go ahead.
Thank you, Olivier. Just directly to what Jean-Jacques was raising, the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee, Jean-Jacques, there is no latitude for what you request. The rules of procedure are absolute and specific with that. It is a regionally balanced two reps from each region, therefore 10 voting members, and an independent non-voting chair that is selected by the ALAC. That is what our rules require. So your request could be considered for whomever chairs the BMSPC, but it could not be considered by the ALAC for the BCEC. Just wanted to point that out.
Excuse me, for the BCEC, does that mean that it would not be 10 but 11 people?
Yes, 10 voting and a absolute administration only non-voting chair that is appointed by the ALAC.
Oh, I had not understood that. So in that case, I agree. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much, Cheryl, for this. And thank you for raising the point, Jean-Jacques. It is important to know. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Well, okay. First I'll address that point.
The rules are almost what Cheryl says, but not quite. Pardon me? I'll tell you. For the BMSPC, the ALAC has the choice of either naming a chair or instructing the BMSPC to name a chair from among its members. That is a choice the ALAC must make prior to the process. In terms of the BCEC, the ALAC names the chair explicitly. The ALAC rules of procedure do not say whether that's a voting chair or a administrative chair. That's up to the rules of the BCEC to decide. And clearly what Cheryl described was a very strong decision that was made last time. It is not, in fact, though, set in concrete by the ALAC rules of procedure. So that's the only minor change. I'm not saying it will be different this time, but it's not in the ALAC rules of procedure as such. In terms of the schedule that Cheryl outlined, there is a problem with it, which says the whole thing is going to have to be moved up somewhat, in that the selection of the chair of the board seat may require more than one round of voting, and if you remember last time, it did. And the schedule needs to allow for that. I believe it could require up to three rounds to verify that, but it certainly can require easily two, and therefore the schedule will have to be adjusted. That obviously that could be done by compressing some of the specific issues, or starting to work on the selection of the BCEC in parallel with
the other. That's why 14 days allowed.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Alan. I see Jean-Jacques Sebrenard still in the queue, and I'm going to close the queue after this. We really need to move on. This was really just a first step to alert everyone as to what's coming up. Jean-Jacques, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. Following on what Alan and Cheryl have just indicated, I think it would be useful for us, at least for me, certainly, to have in writing the exact position regarding each of those two committees, with the flexibility on one hand and a very, very clear limitation on the other. Thank you.
Just to answer that, Olivier, what I was describing is in writing. It's in the rules of procedure, and the flexibility that is allowed. It will be documented in the adjunct document you'll be seeing in a few days. So it is all documented carefully.
One last question, which I did see in the list, one question which I did see as well was whether it was possible for a candidate to be part of, obviously, not the BCEC, but of the BMSC, whatever it's called, BMSCP or PC? Neither.
There is a provision for it. I don't remember the exact wording. Either they're not allowed at all or they must resign. I can't remember which way it came out.
Okay, thank you. Tijani, you still have your hand up?
Yes. No, it is for this point. Any candidate cannot be on any of the two committees.
Yeah.
It is clear and very clear on the rule of procedure. Thank you.
Yeah. And also the
or electorate.
No one who's going to vote can be on the BCEC.
Correct.
So it must be a separate.
Obviously,
rule.
Yeah.
Which
okay,
means
totally
cannot,
separate.
Which means it cannot include any ALAC members, among other things.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for all this information. And yes, in the chat, I had said that it's a question of optics. Some believe it is a conflict. Some believe it is not. It's clear that with our rules now, it is a conflict. So no possibility of being on the group whilst being a candidate. Let's move on. I'm really mindful of the time and very worried because we do have a lot of things to cover, and we might actually have to move some of those agenda items until later, either on the mailing list or till next month's call. First, the update from the ICANN meeting strategy working group. Tijani and Eduardo, could you just provide us with a quick update, please? Tijani Benjema, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. Tijani speaking. I don't know if you remember, but I have asked for a call between the ALAC members and the representatives of ALAC in this working group. And the call happened, and it was a productive call, but we talked about, but we didn't decide anything. The objective of the call I asked for is to know the position of ALAC on the main points of this working group, which are the number of meetings per year, which are the rotation, the criteria for rotation, the length of the week, the type of meetings, what else? A lot of other points, such as, for example, the visa, the room size, etc., etc. So I don't think that it is important that we redo what we did in the other call. Just to tell you, to ask you if you have thought about it and if ALAC now can have a position about those points. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. In fact, there has been, as you said, there was a call. I'm concerned that we're not seeing the link to it. Maybe Heidi or staff can put the link in the chat. Oh, here we go. Update on meeting strategy working group. Is that the right link? Not even sure. Possibly. I'm just opening it. No, it's not. Okay, if we can have the link to that call, rather than opening the discussion here, have the link to that call, because I remember not many ALAC members attended that call. And I'm a little concerned that they're unaware of the various points of view. Some believe more, some believe 3 meetings a year, some believe 2 meetings a year. There are diverging points of view, and there were not enough people on the call to make an actual choice. So please go to this call, and I've asked staff to also add it to the agenda, so if you can reload your agenda page in the future to find out where that call is, then do this. Maybe an action item for everyone to listen to that call is a good thing. Eduardo Diaz, you have the floor.
Yes, this is a wonderful record. I just want to add that the following steps in this working group is that we are having a meeting next week and the following week with the rest of the SOs and ACs to finalize, gathering all the information and points of views of, what requirements all these SOs and ACs have. And there will be a document coming out at the end of September for public comment at that point. So I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eduardo. And I believe that really in the lead up to this document, all ALAC members should have heard or should have listened to that recording, which I just alluded to just now, so we can actually make an informed comment in during the public comment period that will be coming up. Right, let's move on then. Let's go to the next thing, and that's going to be the working group update. We only have 10 minutes left on this call. In fact, I hope we can have 10 minutes left on the call. Let's go very quickly through a few of these. The Academy Working Group, Sandra Hoferishta.
Hello, it's Sandra speaking.
Hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me now? Okay, perfect. It's Sandra Hoferishta speaking. I just want to give you a very quick update because I'm just back from vacation. The Academy Working Group is getting now onto speed. We are working on a curriculum to be submitted for a pilot leadership training program in Buenos Aires, which will finally take place. And we are also working on to define a set of principles to assign some trainers and will invite participants or will invite the constituencies to select participants. You're thinking about each per constituency, and this will happen 2 weeks. And there was another movement which might be of interest for you. There is a program coordinated by ICANN staff, which goes in a similar direction but is more focusing on soft skills and leadership facilitation training. And we will combine our academy finally it will be a joint approach between those two elements, the facilitation skills training and the pilot leadership training program. Overall, it will be something like 3 or 4 days. Details will be figured out also within the next 2 weeks. And I'm sure I can give you some more information soon on the wiki page or during the next ALAP.
Thank you very much, Sandra. And it is great to see that this is moving forward. It's been a long time, and it's great to see that not only are we now doing this, but there is also this leadership, the leadership skills on one side and the other course that ICANN is putting together. And, of course, there is the online course that is being developed that will be leading to this as well, and that will be used as a pilot test to see if it works. So let's go and move on. Next, the Atlas II Organizing Committee update. Eduardo, just a few words.
Yes, I just updated the timeline because we received a final message that all people that are going to, you know, we should submit to ICANN constituency travel by February of next year. All the list of all the people that are supposed to go to this meeting. So I just suggested to have a cutoff date, a deadline for adding new ALSs by December 31st of this year, and have the final list by January 31st, so we're ready to send this to ICANN travel February 13th. Of next year. So, somehow I don't know if we have to ratify this or if we are in accord of this, but those are the deadlines that we have. Also, we have another deadline for this coming Friday that we're supposed to have a list of all the points of contact from all the ALSs so we can have all these points of contact to send the survey that's supposed to go out sometime in September 1st. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eduardo. Speaking of the survey, is this ready to go?
Are you asking me, or I don't see Wolf online either.
I know, I was looking for Wolf. It's Olivia speaking. I was looking for Wolf. I didn't see him. I thought, I don't know. Maybe you do.
I don't know. I don't have the answer. I can send him a note.
So let's have an action item on this that I'll be sending a note, or staff can send a note, sorry, because that's an easy one. Staff can send a note to Wolf. Ludwig? To find out if the survey is ready. And Carlos Reyes is in charge of this. That's great. Let's move on. Thank you for this, Eduardo. Next is the... Where are we? Yes, one more thing actually regarding this. There was a suggestion that we would be inviting, so the ALAC would be inviting other AC and SO chairs to speak at the Atlas II. I think that's an excellent idea. It's a way to get the rest of the community to join with us and to give them a way to address our community. So we'll follow up afterwards, but I thought you'd needed to be told that this was a suggestion that was brought forward and as a good step. We certainly have never been invited to speak at other SONACs as such, but it's good to show the way forward. Moving on, the new GTLD working group, Avery Doria and Evan Leibovich. I don't know whom of you will be taking the bringing the update for this.
Olivier, Avery and I are both on the call, but I guess I'll be taking it.
Okay, Evan Leibovich, you have the floor.
Okay, in keeping with your request, we'll keep this extremely brief right now. There's two main issues on the plate of the working group, one of which is a survey that is intended to try and find out about, you know, sort of forensics on the applicant support system of people in around the world. Were they aware of the applicant support system? Did they try and take advantage of it? And to try and find out the reasons why. So essentially a survey has been designed. It's been approved by the working group. And so the next steps are to try and figure out the timelines and the methods of distribution. So that's one issue. The other one was actually mentioned but skipped over in today's agenda. It has to do with the criteria of the community of the community evaluation process. I can't put out a call for comments. Rinalia has stepped forward with an initial comment on it. I've sent information on this out to the working group. Whether or not this actually goes to the working group or is addressed directly from AILAC, I guess, is yet to be determined. But the issue is an important one and is being worked over now. So those are the main two issues from that working group. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. And certainly this is a process that's very time-sensitive. Do you think that the working group might be able to provide an answer before the end of the week on this?
Given the number of responses that I've seen, the original message went out yesterday. There hasn't been any action yet, so it's totally possible that this may have to be bumped up to AILAC for action immediately, given the timelines.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan. Any questions or comments from anyone? Avery, anything to add?
Avery might be
okay,
on another call.
Okay, yeah, thanks. I'm just connecting my microphone. The one thing that can be done in the working group is the statement's been out there for 24 hours. I have frequently done, you know, 48-hour calls with, you know, and there's basically an accepted process we've gone through on 48-hour call on something. So, you know, today being only Tuesday, theoretically it could be done that there would be a answer by Friday. But I haven't had a chance to talk to Evan about it and was going to try and chat in the background. But since you called on me, thanks.
Okay, thank you very much, Shavri. Let's move on then. And for all those of you who are members of the new GTLD working group, please have a good look at this quickly. It's not a very large document, but we do need to push forward with it. It's something that's directly related to us since it is community. What constitutes a community? Anyway, next, the initial AILAC discussion on the at-large meeting schedule for the 48th ICANN meeting. I was going to try and see if we can move that till later, because we really are running out of time and we have another 25 minutes worth of meetings and about 30 seconds left to be able to go through these, which is just a little bit much. So having no reply from staff at the moment on this, I will take it that they are not against this. Let's move on to 13, the update on my meetings.
Breaking up, Olivier. You're not understandable.
Oh, my goodness.
That was understandable.
Okay. Well, it's always the parts which, well, at least you didn't hear my swearing just now, thankfully. And for the record, I did not swear, by the way. I'm just playing. The at-large meeting in L.A., you will notice there is a page that is up, a wiki page, which has all of the different action items there. I'm not going to go through the full list. In fact, I'm not going to go through any of the list. If any of you has a question about any of the points in there, please send them over to me and copying the ALAC list, and I'll be gladly happy to answer questions on this. It was a very productive day, and we managed to push a lot of things forward, certainly with regards to finance, with regards to the website, all sorts of little things which were fixed effectively. So I'm very glad and thankful that we were able to have a full day of meetings at that time. Moving on, the next thing is the update on the ATRT2 meeting. And that's the meeting that took place the 3 or 4 days after the first day in that I spent in Los Angeles. And for this, as we know, we have 3 members on the ATRT2, myself, Alan Greenberg, and Avery Doria. With Alan Greenberg and Avery Doria being vice chairs of the ATRT2, I'll give the floor to them. I see Alan has put his hand up first. So, Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Yeah, the hand was actually up for item 13 on your day in Los Angeles. I wasn't there, but I was there the next day and in fact, had talked a little bit to compliance, and both in a teleconference ahead of that, a private 3-way teleconference and the meeting there. I think I managed to convince compliance that their monthly reports are not understandable and not presenting information that we need, and that may actually change now. We'll see. So one little touch of optimism. In terms of the ATRT, it was a very long and very both productive but hectic meeting. We went into it with not quite understanding how we're going to get a report out of it in the time frame, and came out of it with a very clear plan and timeline and the structure for how we're proceeding. There will be another meeting likely, we're not sure yet, due to finance, in Washington sometime in late September, I believe, where we will be finalizing what is in the interim report. And there's a lot of writing going on as we speak right now. I will point out that Renalia submitted what I thought was a very good statement. If other ALAC people haven't read it, they should. And if anyone wants to endorse it or say me too, that should be done really quickly because we're running out of time. But I did think that Renalia captured a number of the issues that ALAC has been complaining about for a long time. That's certainly worth looking at. Renalia, did you forward that to the ALAC? I'm not sure if Renalia can speak right now. If not, we should. I'll make sure a link goes out to the ALAC so you can find it. Other than that,
Renalia's answer was no in the chat.
Okay, then I will send a pointer or the text. It was a very productive meeting. ALAC is proceeding. As I said, we walked into the meeting not quite seeing how we're going to get out, and we do have a plan. We may actually have a report, an interim report in time to discuss in Buenos Aires, and a final report by the end of the year. We're identifying a lot of things which I think will be of interest to the ALAC. So I'm hoping that people will look at the draft report and be commenting on it. I don't have anything else to say. Avery, maybe, or Olivia?
Well, thank you very much, Alan. Just before Avery speaks, there are 2 links on the agenda, one to the ATRT2 in Los Angeles, and there you will see all of the links to the actual discussions and the recordings, including full video recordings of the proceedings on a day-by-day basis. And then there's also a link to the templates for assessment on implementation and for the new recommendations. Alan, I didn't find out any summary of the discussions or page with the final documents that we were working on it might be worth asking the staff, HERT2 staff, to do this.
Well, there's an ATRT meeting Thursday, I believe, of this week, and I'm expecting that we will be looking at the drafts and have them posted at that, either before that time or at that time. So at least that's my expectation. I should also point out, for those of you who have complained that the ATRT wiki is ununderstandable and impossible to find anything, due to largely Olivier and I, I guess complaining is the polite word, there has been a lot of work done on that, and to be honest, I haven't had a chance to look at it in the last week or so to see if the result is any better, but I know a huge amount of work has been put into reorganizing it, removing redundancies and making it a little bit easier to find, so I would appreciate any input as to is it any better or not. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Alan. And certainly, I have seen some improvement in the wiki, but there still needs to be a bit more work done. Avery Doria, do you have anything to add?
This is Avery. Thanks for calling on me. Not really. I mean, what we've got at the moment is there's a template that's been passed around on the ATRT archive list, and I think hopefully at the next meeting, that will get checked over and people will actually, you know, indicate where they are in the edits. I've asked that template be put on a wiki page with cross-references and stuff. See what happens. I haven't complained or anything. I've merely asked. I don't know how you two are doing, but certainly the writing season has started. And, there's a few of us that seem to have a whole lot of the writing in hand, trying to develop the recommendations. So I'm hoping people will track the recommendations as we write them and comment, you know, because that's hopefully they'll all be in wikis, they'll all have comment capabilities, what have you. Who knows if it'll really work. But the more comments we get in process, I believe the more comments we don't have to deal with in later in the writing and stuff. So, but yeah, going great. It totally consumes your life.
Thank you very much, Avery. To close on this, maybe an action item would be to, for myself, I guess, to keep track of the writing in the ATRT2 and to inform the ALAC when the writing, the first drafts and so on are coming up, inform the ALAC of the availability of those documents. As we know, the ATRT2 is all about accountability and transparency, and I know that several people on the committee are pushing for as much transparency as possible, which is always great to see, especially in the work that the ATRT is doing. Any questions or comments on this? I see no one putting their hand up. Okay, well, we've now reached... quick question. Regarding agenda item number 12, the ALAC discussion on an at-large meeting schedule, Heidi, I resort over to you. What do we do with this?
Hi, Olivia. This is Heidi. You're going back to item 12 now.
Yes, correct. Okay, not only am I in item 12, I'm asking you, Heidi, what are we doing with item 12? We've moved it behind item 14. We've got item 12, item 15, and item 16. We're 10 minutes beyond the absolute end of the world. We probably are in some kind of twilight zone at the moment. What do we do?
So just a reminder that the working group chairs and railroad chairs, please send staff a notification if you would like to hold meetings. Staff are going to be working on populating those at-large agenda pages for Buenos Aires. We've had a discussion with XCOM. We'll be posting the regular ALAC meetings. The wrap-up session, again, because this is the AGM, the annual general meeting, the wrap-up session will be longer because that's the end of the term for some members, and the new ALAC and XCOM members will come in on the Friday. So we're working on that. There's going to be a multi-stakeholder policy roundtable on Monday afternoon and a joint meeting for the first time of the Atlas II and regional secretariat's meeting on Wednesday. So in the next week or so, those pages should begin to be populated.
Fantastic. Thank you, Heidi. When is the end time for, when is the deadline this time around for our agenda to be totally set for Buenos Aires?
Yes. This is Heidi. That has we've not heard that deadline yet for meeting staff, so it should be in the next month or two. There is some time. It's not urgent at the moment.
Okay. So I guess the action item to take out of this, and it's not really an action item, it's just a declaration to everyone who's on the call here, chairs of working groups and also ALAC members and others, if there is a meeting that you believe absolutely needs to go somewhere during the ICANN week in Buenos Aires, say, ask for it now so we can actually have some time to try and fit it in the week without having some crazy days. Tijani Benjema, you have the floor. Tijani, you might be muted at the moment.
Olivier, this is Heidi. Tijani has unfortunately dropped.
Tijani has dropped. Yeah, I've just noticed that. Okay. Tijani, can you... I'm just putting quickly if he can say what he needed to say on the chat. And then we will proceed forward after this. So certainly, this is going to be a very long week for some, since there is going to be the leadership going on before, leadership course going on before, and so on. So yes, Tijani, we have you.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I would like to say that if we want not to have conflicting sessions, we need to express our need of meetings now, very soon, because if we express our need very late, we will have for sure conflicting sessions, and we will be unable to attend one and the other at the same time. So please, everyone, try to express your need now, very, very soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And I was saying that this might be that some people arriving for the leadership training and for the meeting skill training as well. And hopefully the meeting skill training will teach people how to conduct short meetings rather than long ones. Let's move on to number 15, the chair's announcement. There are two announcements to be made. The first one is to do with an ALAC member who has left the ALAC community, who's unfortunately is not with us at the moment. That's Yaobi Atahun. Well, he's not left the ALAC community. He's left the ALAC because he has been taken on as ICANN staff for Africa, which is absolutely fantastic news. And I'm not sure. I know this was said over on the ALAC list, but this is this is the official announcement, I guess, over to the rest of the world. And well done. Real excellent work, Yaobi. It's been a real pleasure. I know you're not online, but you might be listening to this later. It's been an absolute pleasure to work with you. And I know it will be a pleasure to continue working with you. But now that you will be staff, you will have to pay the bill at the end of the evening when we have our meal. Which is great. Apart from that, I know everyone has been really pleased with this. That means that Afralo is going to be working also to look at what happens now with regards to appointing someone to go in the position of Yaobi. And, of course, Yaobi had been returned as an Afralo officer for the next term, and that will mean someone else will be selected for the next term. I note on the chat that staff is very happy to welcome Yaobi as a colleague, and we're happy that he still remains with us. Now, next is the second person who's leaving us, but this time temporarily, and that's Gisela. And Gisela has a leave from the 2nd of September to the 2nd of December. It's not because she's absolutely tired of listening to us for hours on end and needs a break. No, it's for a much happier event. And I'll hand the floor over to Heidi for this announcement.
Hi, everyone. This is Heidi. I don't know what to say. We're all going to miss you so tremendously, but at the same time, we are absolutely thrilled with your impending motherhood. And really, truly from the heart, we wish you all the very best as you await your child you've been waiting for so long.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Olivier and Heidi, Gisela here. Thank you very much. I'll miss everyone as well. I think that 3 months will absolutely fly by, and I'm not quite sure what's going to happen next week. The own will be better known to me then. And I think 3 months will fly by, and I'll be back in no time. And I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gisela. And no doubt, it's great news to see another member of the at-large community that will join us, really looking forward to this. So the question comes into what happens when Gisela leaves for those 3 months. They will fly by for Gisela. Will they fly by for us as well? Or will we just panic and all jump off a cliff by the time Gisela is back? For this, we thankfully have a wonderful document that Gisela has prepared and with staff, with others. And so some people will be stepping in while Gisela steps out. Good luck to those people stepping in. They have no idea. But if you look at the document, Heidi, do you wish to take us through this quickly? I realize we're so short of time now.
Yeah, I think because of the time, I think it probably is better. It's a very self-explanatory one-page note that it basically lists Gisela and has been working very close with Natalie and Julia. We've all had a call with at-large staff, so everyone's aware from our side how this is going to proceed. But this is basically just so you know who's going to be handling what. The easiest thing for you to do is basically just continue writing to the at-large staff account, and those people then, everyone here knows their responsibilities, and we'll carry that forward. And also, you know, as much as you know, we're going to miss G, I'm very impressed with how Julia, who's been handling this call, the ALAC call for the first time on her own, has done. So well done, Julia.
Yep. Applause to that. Thank you, Julia.
Fantastic. Bravo. Okay, well, thank you very much for this. And Gisela, it is an au revoir, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to have some regular news from you as you enjoy the real life out there that exists beyond those walls that we're confided in. I think that we can go to the last item on our agenda. Yes, and certainly photos, of course. News and photos,
lots
please.
Of photos.
That's mandatory. Last item, any other business from anyone? I see a couple of hands up. So first, Renalia Abdul-Rahim.
Thank you, Olivier. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Go ahead.
Yes.
Thank you. Just a quick note to the ALAC and at large. I've been keeping an eye on the IGF that's supposed to happen in Bali. And I know that a few of my ALAC colleagues are also organizing workshops that have been accepted. And I've looked at the draft scheduling, and they seem to be putting all of our workshops at the same time on the same day. And we've had this problem before, and I really did not like not being able to attend some of my colleagues' workshops because I'm interested in the topic, and I also wanted to demonstrate my support. And I was wondering if we could think about it and see if we need to say something to the IGF Secretariat or whoever it is that coordinates the schedule. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Renalia. Would this be something that the MAG is in charge of?
I don't know.
No.
But I think
no.
Comment needs to be made if we care about it.
Okay.
I see Tijani has his hand up, and I know he's well aware of the process as well.
Yes.
Tijani Benjamin?
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. It's also about IGF. And first of all, I would like to answer Rinalia's concern. I understand her concern, but I would like to give her my experience in asking for rescheduling a workshop. I did that one time, and I will not do it again because they give me a very bad slot, very at the end of the everything, nobody will come, etc., etc. So if we have our slot, and if it is at a good moment, try to keep it. Otherwise, you will lose it. You will lose a good opportunity to have people coming in your workshop. Second point now, I would like to ask Heidi for any information about the Bali event, about the IGF. Now we have panelists that we invited to be on our panels, and they are asking me when I am coming, if I am coming, etc. And it is very important. If I am not coming, who will make the workshop? So I would like to know from the staff, from the ICANN staff, if there is anything done or projected to be done for the Bali IGF. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tijani. And for this, I call on Heidi to please provide us with some details.
So, Olivier, very quickly, this is Heidi. Tijani, two responses. For the actual travel support, we've sent all that information for the AP RALO and the AF RALO members who are going to get travel support to constituency travel so that it's in their hands. And secondly, I've been in almost weekly text with Mandy Carver from GSE about the ICANN plans, so I expect that you're going to be hearing some information very shortly, probably in the first week of September, on the ICANN broader issues on activities at the IGF.
Thank you very much, Heidi. Anything to do with the MAG on this issue of all workshops being at the same time? Do we have anyone who's on the MAG? I mean, I thought that we had people who were in the at-large community who were on the MAG.
I think that there is Avery who is on the MAG.
Avery is on the call, and Avery has actually put her hand up. So maybe, Avery, could you clarify this, please?
Yeah, this is Avery with my hand up. I'm not on the MAG. I'm sometimes on the secretariat, and maybe again, don't know. But it's the secretariat mostly that deals with the scheduling. And they do deal with an immense number of change requests. And the unfortunate thing that happens is when the constraints get too heavy, if this one can't talk to that one can't be at the same time as this one because there's a common speaker, et cetera, it does become difficult rescheduling, and people do get stuck in a slot that no one else wants because it doesn't conflict with anything. So it's not in any sense, but it is the secretariat that deals with all those issues. The MAG gets called in more on should something be scheduled or not scheduled, not when should it be scheduled and such. As I say, I'm not on the MAG. I'm not even on the secretariat at the moment, though I do play a part in a sort of background secretariat, friends of the secretariat, and I'm hoping to be on the secretariat again. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Avery, for this. That's very enlightening. I certainly was not aware of this. And perhaps may I suggest that Rinalia speaks to, well both Rinalia and Tijani speak to you about this offline, follow up with you and see if any informal channel can be discussing this one way or other. I certainly find it very difficult to go through the full ICANN channel and the MAG and the secretariat, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, any other business? seeing no one putting their hand up, I'm glad to say that this call is going to be over in a second. I just have to thank all of you for spending the nearly two and a half hours on the call, including thanking the interpreters for having remained with us for that long. That certainly is one of the longest ALAC call we've had, but it was very, very productive. So thanks to everyone. Thank you to all the staff. Thanks to members and to observers who were on the call as well, and speak to all of you very soon. And just a special word over to Heidi Ulrich on the record. You can now go over to sample the local Turkish delicacies. I know it's about time for you to have dinner, Heidi, so I shan't take you any longer. Please go and remember, try and find those hubbly bubblies. I'm sure there are some in Istanbul. To all of you, thank you very much. Bye-bye. This call is now adjourned.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.